Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in New York and Pennsylvania with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are this week Dan Barkowiak with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Dan, thanks for pinch hitting this week. We promise to go easy on you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll get right into the nitty-gritty. And Jason, you know, Turkey Day is fast approaching, and maybe it's good to have the Reverend answer this question. You know, we heard Governor Hochul say this week that it would behoove you to check the vaccination status of your loved ones before opening the door for Turkey Day dinner. But, you know, there's polls out that show 3 in 5 Americans are not inviting family members over because of the vaccination debate. And sad to say, you know, a majority of Americans expect arguments to break out around the dinner table on Thanksgiving because of COVID-19. You mentioned at the front end of this pandemic that we need to learn to give each other space here. Why is that not happening?
Well, I think we're being driven by a media cycle. There's a lot of tension. We've been through now, you know, it's coming up on 2 years of essentially increased anxiety over some of these things, and it's pouring over into other areas and other relationships, including families. Yeah. And so I'm encouraging people, just take a step backwards, realize that Thanksgiving really is not about the turkey and the cranberry sauce. It really is about each other. It really is about giving Thanksgiving to God. And when we focus on those things, when we have that heart of gratitude, it is hard to then also be sniping at family members. Yeah. So keep the main thing as the holidays approach.
Do you think government mandates are exacerbating this divide right now?
I do. I mean, you know, I'm in the camp that I believe that COVID is real, and I think I have a somewhat moderate position on it compared to where some other people are at. But at the end of the day, there is government overreach that is occurring, and there is media that is exasperating the situation. And the more we take in those types of conversations and those talking points, it is affecting our psyche on this issue. So be real, treat COVID real, but also remember that, you know, there's a God in heaven, and this does not catch him by surprise. We're going to be okay.
All right. Well, Dan, a big bill that was signed this week, the infrastructure package, $1.2 trillion. Your state stands to receive a lot of money from that. How long do you think it will be, though, before these so-called shovel-ready projects become reality? I mean, that's a term we heard under former President Obama, shovel-ready, and a lot of that never materialized.
Right. Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it's a 2,700-page bill. There were 247,000 words. I mean, that's more words than the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot that we now have to implement, and it's going to certainly take time.
Are you concerned that not-for-profits, private organizations, religious groups, schools, whatever, could be marginalized? Is there a litmus test here for receiving grant money?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, what's concerning is the culture war was inserted into the infrastructure bill, you know, with language related to sexual orientation, gender identity. It's in a similar fashion to what has been used to go after those in the wedding industry or private Christian schools, businesses that is contrary to their sincerely held religious beliefs. So now this is certainly something that we have to monitor for these potential conflicts.
Yeah, I want to ask you a follow-up as well, Jason. You know, this legislation, trillions of dollars worth of legislation to improve our infrastructure comes as we're dealing with a nationwide labor shortage problem. Do we have the workers to build the roads and fix the bridges?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, if you look at where we're at right now, it doesn't appear to be. I know in New York's case, we're losing a lot of people to other states. But even among folks that are here, they're just not anxious to get back to work. And I don't know if the existing force is going to be their skilled workforce to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, and of course, this is just half of what the Democrats in Congress want. This other component, Build Back Better, far more expensive and the effect far more reaching. Let's turn the page, Dan, and talk about what many are calling is the new political party in America, the Parents Party. They are fired up and revved up and ready to go. Are we witnessing the same kind of parental revolt in Pennsylvania that we saw in Virginia recently when it came to that gubernatorial election there? What kind of momentum is there behind legislative efforts? I know your group is getting behind some key bills on this front to kind of pull that curtain back on the public schools and allow moms and dads to have a front row seat to what's being taught in the classroom.
Yeah, certainly moms and dads are taking action. I mean, access to school choice is as critical as ever. You have cyber charters that are seeing historic growth. Parents are facing these historic challenges. So there's a variety of bills, as you mentioned, working through the Pennsylvania State Legislature, including increases to the popular tax credit programs that provide scholarships to students. So ultimately, you know, we need to continue to encourage our state officials to expand this access to school choice and certainly look to help more families.
Yeah. Jason, let's talk crime for a bit. We all have seen the headlines out of Rochester, New York. Unbelievable, the crime rate in cities like that. And Governor Hochul even this week saying that she may take a look at the bail reform law. Many people say that's too soft on crime. What is fueling the crime crisis in New York State?
Yeah, it's no single thing. I mean, if you look at what's happening in Rochester, we have over 70 homicides so far this year, and we're not done yet. There could be more coming out of that city. But it's no single thing. You have largely a younger audience, particularly the city of Rochester, that's not been in school for some time. You have gang influence. You have the breakdown of the family. You have all the anxiety regarding the pandemic and just exasperating things. And we're feeding into a culture to where we're not celebrating the sanctity of human life. We're denigrating life.
Yeah.
And so it's no single issue, but no doubt public policy is impacting what's happening in cities across our state.
Yeah, the CEO of McDonald's, a quick follow-up, came under fire for suggesting that the crime crisis in cities like Chicago has a lot to do with families and that a lot of these kids come from single-parent families. Why can't you even mention that anymore when it comes to the crime debate?
The reality is that to talk about the breakdown of the traditional family does not fit the narrative in the culture today. And so if we believe that moms and dads matter for family stability, that's being rejected by a largely, and I hate to say it, it is a Democratic Party narrative that is countering that message.
Yeah. The mass debate every day, that seems to change, Dan. The acting health secretary says the mask rule in school still applies, despite a court ruling it's unconstitutional. Now another court has said December 4th, it's all over, the mask comes off. Moms and dads all over Pennsylvania are asking the question, what's up here? Why is there so much confusion over the masks right now?
Well, I think there's so much confusion. I would say ultimately, in my opinion, it's power. You know, Governor Wolf and his administration, they've proven time and again that this is something that they want unilateral control over. So anything that deviates from that plan is something they'll oppose. So sadly, that's not helping school board members. It's not helping families in districts across the state. So we should be helping those districts and allowing them to make the decision that's best for their community.
Yeah. Everybody's talking, I don't know if we're in the fourth wave, the fifth wave, but the numbers are not going in the right direction when it comes to COVID, Jason. The trajectory of the virus, some parts of the state like Western New York, the Finger Lakes region. We got the cold weather coming, the holidays right around the corner, people gathering inside, flu season, kind of a perfect storm here. Are you concerned at all? We may start to shut things down again, God forbid.
Well, if you pay attention to what Governor Kathy Hochul has been saying, that's what she's lifting right now, is she is indicating that if things do not get back down, those positivity rates, that we will be looking at stricter mandates. That's going to be challenging for her, though, because she is heading into her election year, and mandates are not popular. And so you have the specter of the mandates coming, but I'm not sure how quickly, politically, she's going to have the ability to do that. Nor does she have the emergency powers that Governor Cuomo did. So it will be more challenging for this governor, but she certainly learned to use the bully pulpit.
All right. And then finally, Dan, the Senate Education Committee voting to repeal this century-old law I didn't even know was still on the books. Teachers aren't allowed to wear religious jewelry in school. Why did it take so long to repeal this law?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, over a century ago, the KKK pushed many states to pass a law that prevented teachers from wearing religious necklaces and dress. It was a way to keep Catholics out of public schools.
Huh.
And so Pennsylvania is unfortunately the last state. Nebraska in 2017 repealed their law. And so it left Pennsylvania the last state to still have it on the book. So it's a little baffling, especially since there was a lawsuit in Pennsylvania back in 2013 that ruled in favor of teachers. And so the good news is the bill is on a track to the finish line to repeal this law. So certainly stay tuned for more from PA Family.
All right. And so, you know, we like to say better late than never, right? You can learn more about this action in Harrisburg to repeal this law on your website. It's a new look website. Highly encourage people to go there and check it out. Dan, what is it, sir?
PAFamily.org.
Stay informed on all the issues in New York as well. Jason, where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.